John Danforth served three terms as U.S. Senator from Missouri from 1976 to 1995. An ordained Episcopal priest, he officiated Ronald Reagan's funeral in 2000. Dick Cheney edged him out for the vice presidential spot on the Republican presidential ticket. He served briefly as United States Ambassador to the United Nations for the Bush administration. Last week, he wrote an op-ed published in the Washington Post calling President Trump the most divisive president in our history. Said Trump is not a Republican and talked about what he called the real reason why. You can link to Senator Danforth's essay at our website, onpointradio.org. He joins us now. Senator John Danforth, welcome to On Point. Thanks very much for being here.
Thanks, Tom.
Can you please give us the heart of your assertion here about President Trump and the Republican Party?
It doesn't have anything to do with particular legislation or his attacks on other Republicans, although, you know, there's good reason to be concerned about some of that, but it really has to do with a major theme of the Trump presidency and of Donald Trump, and that is divisiveness of setting one group against another, treating major blocks of our country as though they don't really belong here. And that is the opposite of what the Republican Party has been. The Republican Party is the party of Lincoln. It is the party of the union, of trying to keep things together. And Donald Trump is the most, as I said, the most divisive president in history. And I think it's important for Republicans to distance themselves from Trump and not create the impression that Trump is the Republican Party. He isn't. It's very important, in my view, to have a strong Republican Party, a strong conservative party in America. But if it becomes tainted with divisiveness and hatefulness, then the party really doesn't have much of a future.
You wrote he stands in opposition to the founding principle of our party, the GOP, that is, that of a united country. You said it isn't a matter of occasional asides. Trump is always eager to tell people that they don't belong here, whether it's Mexicans, Muslims, transgender people, or another group. His message is, you are not one of us. The opposite of e pluribus unum, you wrote, and when he has the opportunity to unite Americans, to inspire us, you wrote, to call out the most hateful among us, the KKK and the neo-Nazis, he refuses, you wrote. What kind of response are you getting from fellow Republicans, Senator Danforth? You called for them to disassociate themselves from President Trump, but we have not seen much of that.
It's been a mixed response. A lot of people have said to me, communicated with me one way or another, that they are very appreciative of the piece. They agree with it wholeheartedly. They've been waiting for somebody to say this. And then there are people who are true believers in Donald Trump, and they resent it. You know, they're standing by him through thick or thin.
How do you explain this division within the ranks of the GOP over this president, Senator Danforth?
As I said in the piece, I don't see Trump as a Republican, because he's departed from the founding principle of the Republican Party. On the other hand, there are a lot of people in America who welcome him, and you know, people have written books on the subject of why a lot of people feel sort of disenfranchised or mistreated or disrespected. Treated as the deplorables and so on. And so I think there are people who think, well, Donald Trump is a bully, but he's our bully. And that accounts for a lot of support that he's getting. But if you look at the polls, something like a third of the American people are approve of Donald Trump. And as far as the political party is concerned, you're not going to get very far if all you have is a third of the public.
You wrote, Republicans must disassociate ourselves from Trump. What would that look like? What would constitute disassociating, Republicans disassociating themselves from the president?
I think it depends on where the Republican is. In other words, I don't expect people in elective politics to be very out front verbally, But I think people like me who are not in elective politics, it's easier for us to verbalize opposition to Trump. But I think for people in elective politics, it's to model an approach to America that's very different than Trump's approach. In other words, it's not so much what you say, but who you are and what you do and how you act, and making it obvious that what you are is very different from what Donald Trump is.
Is that enough, that kind of modeling? I mean, you point to some pretty extreme, as you described them, circumstances of the president going with divisiveness. You call him the most divisive president in our history. Is it enough just to model, not to be explicit? If Republicans go down that road, does Donald Trump just redefine the party around them? And maybe it's not the party you say it is or was it. Maybe that's history. Maybe it's his now.
It's a matter of making it clear that Trump is not like us.
How do you do that without saying so?
It can be done verbally, and it can be done by who you are and how you act and how you behave and how you relate to various people, and whether you are the kind of person who is a unifying person and you reach out to the very kinds of people whom Trump is busily attacking. So I don't think it's all words, and I think if all it were words, we wouldn't get very far. So I think it's a combination of what people say, and that's more likely to come from people who are not in elective office now, and the way people act and reach out to others.
If Republicans don't disassociate themselves from the president, the thing you call for, what happens here over the next 3 years or seven?
Well, that's really the... That to me is very, very worrisome, because let's say that in the next election, just insofar as a Republican or a conservative or a moderate is concerned, supposing that in 3.5 years the choice is between Donald Trump, the Republican nominee, and, say, Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders as the Democratic nominee, that would be, for many of us, just an absolutely awful choice that we would have to make.
Senator Danforth, we're out of time right there, and I regret it, but we really appreciate your coming on and your time with us today. Former Republican Senator from Missouri, John Danforth, thanks very much for being here. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.